In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is September 25th, year 2013, and we're celebrating our first funeral mass here at Mary's Little Remnant. We're just reading the mass prayers. As I said many times, I'm not a priest, but we do read the mass prayers because we have no priest to keep us in memory of the holy rituals of the church. And we have one of our brothers here, Monk Lewis Worth, who was the first to die amongst us, and he was 97 years old. Let me give you some details on him before we go into this. He was the one that God rose from the dead several years ago by a miracle and left him alive all this time. And I don't know exactly when that year was. What year was that when God rose him from the dead? He was dead and God. And he left him alive long enough to be in a state of grace, hopefully, and save his soul, hopefully. And we have some very good signs for that. But like we say, we're always prepared that if he's in hell, then so be it. But let me give you the details that I have written down here about his death. He died on September 24th, 2013, on Tuesday at around 2:10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, USA, on the feast day of Our Lady of Ransom, in the house of his daughters Mary Lou and Catherine in Sierra County, New Mexico, just down the road from Mary's Little Ranch, maybe a quarter of a mile down the road. And later on, we're going to give you some reasons why we believe we have some good hope that he's in purgatory, but we'll speak about that later on. But we make no illusions. If perchance he's not in purgatory and he's in hell, then he's in hell. It's God's will. But we have some good hope that he may be in purgatory. Now, we read in Ecclesiasticus 7:40, it says, "In all thy works, remember thy last end, and thou wilt never sin." And what is thy last end of all of us? Death, the particular judgment, hell, purgatory, and then hell, purgatory, or heaven. Those are the three places you're going to go. And if you go to purgatory, you're going to end up in heaven. That's something we all have to keep in consideration in our mind. That's the most important things in our whole life. Other than being born is your death. Either you're going to be born again to eternal life, or you're going to be born again to eternal damnation. That everyone dies, everyone knows that. Everyone, they live in their own cultures, in their own life. We're looking at it right now, the dead body of, I call him Monk Lewis, that was my nickname for him, Brother Lewis Worth, I call him Monk Lewis. And we read about the death sentence that God put down upon all mankind when Adam and Eve committed the original sin. And that was one of our penalties. And we read about that in Genesis 3:17-19. "And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree whereof I commanded thou shouldest not eat, cursed is the earth in thy work, with labor and toil shalt thou eat thereof all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the earth. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread, till thou return to the earth out of which thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return." There was a death sentence. And even those who save their souls have to undergo the death of the body. That's the St. Paul says, I think is in Romans 8:23, I'm not sure the verse, he says, "Our bodies have not yet benefited from the redemption." That happens on the general judgment. For all those who save their souls, they get their bodies back in a glorified state in a beautiful way. But that's the penalty that all mankind incurs. We're looking at it right here with Monk Lewis, his dead body here. And we hope that his soul is in purgatory. If it is, then he has everlasting life, even now, even though he's suffering to burn off his venial sins and punishment due to sins. We read about what happens after you die, right after you die in Hebrews 9:27. "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment." So as soon as after you die, you go before the judgment seat of God. And when you go before that judgment seat, you're going to hear three judgments. You're going to get heaven, directly to heaven if you don't have to go to purgatory if you're saved, or you're going to go to hell if you're damned, or you're going to go to purgatory. We read about those who are saved. Jesus Christ talks about it, and he says they're on the right-hand side, and he calls them sheep. And it's in Matthew 25:34, he says, "Then shall the king say to them that are on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, possess you the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," the King Jesus Christ. And he's telling you that those are people are going to say to go to heaven. Here's the death sentence, the eternal death. In the same Matthew 25, but verse 41. "Then he shall say to them also that shall be on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire which was prepared for the devil and his angels." And that's everlasting fire. And this is what you all have to think about. No matter what we have to suffer, what we got to go through on this earth, it doesn't compare to anything to the sufferings of everlasting hellfire. natural law can even tell you we're here for a purpose, that God, there's a one God, that he created us, that he rewards and punishes it, and there's more than this earth, that our souls live forever, and then it's our duty to find out what do we need to do to gain that eternal life. And if you do, then all the good things you see on this earth, the truly good things, you'll have forever with eminently more good things that we can't even conceive of in our mind. Not only are right now all the saints that saved their souls and all the people of the elect are in heaven right now in a place that's so beautiful, St. Paul says you can't even imagine it. He's going to recreate this new earth when Jesus comes the second time. We're going to dwell upon this new paradise, which is going to be so much better than even the original paradise when heaven and earth united in a way we can't even think of. That's the reward. It's either that or the punishment, which is eternal pain, suffering, and damnation, where all your senses are assaulted by suffering. Now, we also read, which is a Catholic dogma on purgatory, and it's based off several scriptures that say nothing undefiled or unspotted shall enter into heaven, that a lot of times there's people who die in a state of grace and they're pleasing to God, but they haven't expiated all the punishment due to the sins they've committed. They needed to do more punishment for the sins because they didn't do enough penance on earth for their sins they committed and that are forgiven already, or they are guilty of venial sins that they didn't confess and never overcame in their life, and they have these venial sins that they're guilty of. And so that we know that these venial sins, and that's where you go to get them remitted in purgatory. Several scripture verses talks about that there's this other place other than earth after people die in which sins could be remitted. And we read about that in Ecclesiasticus 7:37, restrain not grace from the dead, that the dead could benefit from our prayers and graces, which means they're in this place where they're being purified. We read about it in 2 Maccabees 12:46. It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead that they may be loosed from sins. So now we're reading from the Old Testament. Judas Maccabees, the Jews knew that in the Old Testament, that there was this other place where you go to get expiated and your sins could be forgiven. Jesus Christ himself said it in Matthew 12:32, the ultimately good, faithful, holy Jew himself, the best Jew there could ever be, Jesus Christ. We read about, and God himself, in Matthew 12:32, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But who shall ever speak a word against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world or the next world. So Jesus is saying there are some sins in the next world that can be forgiven. It shall not be forgiven neither in this world nor in the world to come. So Jesus is then saying there are some sins that could be remitted in this other world, which is when you die, which means you have sins that need to be remitted. That's purgatory. And the Catholic Church teaches those are venial sins, not mortal sins. If you die in mortal sin or if you die with original sin, you go to hell directly. And there's after the particular judgment, you go to hell. But there's no hope for you. You don't go to purgatory. So if you die guilty of mortal sin and you die guilty of original sin, it's a Catholic dogma that you go to hell or the damned. There is no purgatory for you. So the types of sins we're talking about here are venial sins. Sins that even sometimes the greatest saints were prone to would fall into every now and then. That's why we read in 1 Peter 4:18, if the just man shall scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? In the Old Testament verse, it says something like the just man shall fall seven times, but he will rise again. So even if you happen to die with some venial sins because you didn't perfect yourself the way you should have, although God wants you to, if you did perfect yourself the way you should have and you weren't guilty of any venial sins and you did all the penances to remit the punishment due to sins you were remitted, you go straight to heaven. You don't even go to purgatory. But I'm just trying to prove to you real briefly, and we all believe it in anyway, because we're Catholics, so we believe in the dogma of purgatory. That's what purgatory is all about. You can't get into heaven unless you're undefiled and you're spotless and completely pure. And also all the punishment due to your sins are remitted. Now, we read the commentary on that verse of Matthew 12:32. It says, the Catholic commentary, from these words, St. Augustine and St. Gregory the Great teach that some sins may be remitted in the world to come, and consequently that there is a purgatory or a middle place, a temporary middle place. St. Augustine says these words would not be true if some sins were not forgiven in the world to come. And St. Gregory says, we are to believe from these words in the existence of the fire of purgatory to expiate our smaller offenses, venial sins, before the day of judgment and our punishment due to sins. That's why there's a purgatory. That's how holy you got to be before you can get into heaven. I believe in some true saints that are really holy saints even had to go to purgatory for a while. And you can still be a saint, but even they had to go. and they were still saints, but they had to burn all. And the closer you get to God, the more he expects of you. And of course, the closer you get to God, the more you want to become perfect and holy. So you could be perfect and holy here and now, but if you're not, and you have some venial sins, or you didn't get rid of all the punishment due to sins, that's why we have a purgatory. And that's why we hope that Monk Lewis, Brother Lewis Worth, is in purgatory, obviously. We hope he saved his soul. Now, speaking about that, we do have some good signs that he is in purgatory. I'm going to mention them now. Now, as I say, before I read off these indications that God has given us that he may be in purgatory, if we all happen to be deceived by all these signs, and he happens to be in the hell of the damned, then so be it. He's in the hell of the damned. That's it. So, that's what it is. But I'm just going to relay this to you as they're on the record that God has given us some good signs, that there's some really good hope that he is in purgatory. And I said to the brothers, he would then be the first one amongst Mary's little remnant, us few Catholics, that is now in purgatory and saved his soul. And now he can help us so much greater even now where he is than he could even when he was alive in purgatory for praying for us and helping us. So a great, great benefit. Now, of course, if he's in the hell of the damned, he would just be another one of the reprobates that are coming up and tormenting us and torturing us and punishing us. Because I also believe, too, I don't know if it's a dogma, but I believe firmly that any of your relatives or family members or friends that died and are in hell, the devil uses them to come up and to assault you, to punish you, to try to possess you, to obsess you, and to tempt you. But we always got plenty of them around. But when God is supporting you and the angel, your guardian angel, and God is with you, who could be against you? But we know this is the combat we're in. God is the ultimate one you fear. You don't fear anyone really but God. Because God even gives permission to the devil to let him beat you up. God, he's got to get permission for everything. He's a dog on a leash. He can only go as far as God lets him. But God lets him punish us to try our faith and punishment for the concupiscence of our flesh from the original sins and all that. And he lets the devil punish, of course, evildoers too. Many times that's happening. So our big thing is it would be very wonderful, of course it would be, just first for his own soul that he saved his soul, and that he could be helping us from where he is. Now I'm going to give you some of these signs that we had that why we believe there's some good hope that he's in purgatory. We got one thing is God kept him alive long enough to be in a state of grace. That was my prayer for him all the time. After God rose him from the dead, we knew there was a purpose. God could raise you from the dead and you can still end up in hell, you know. We've had examples of people that were risen from the dead, and they didn't listen, and then they ended up going bad, and they ended up in hell. So just because God does a miracle, allows a miracle to happen, he doesn't mean you're going to save yourself. So I'm not saying that. But what we used to always say when I give Monk Lewis a blimey, God lets you live long enough, if you're not in a state of grace, to be in a state of grace, to save, so you can save your immortal soul. Now, that prayer doesn't work all the time, or so it will work with everybody, but that's what we pray. And it did what I believe, too, which God is showing us here, too, how important it is to be in the church and to be of goodwill, because then God gives you an extra special grace to let you live long enough to get whatever you need to be able to save your soul. And I say that, too, because just this July 2013, I now abjured myself and came into the church, recognizing all these dogmas that I was, these basic dogmas I was denying that I originally held because I was following bad theology books. And I was not following what I would even call the natural law. I mentioned that already in my, I'm not going to get into that now, but that would mean that for sure now we're really starting to move forward. These are like the last pieces that had to be put together to bring me into the church. I believe I said I was in and out of the church. But here now we have the last pieces of what we need to put together all the dogmas and not to be misled or led astray by horrible theology books for the last 700 years at least or more even. More than 700 years, 1200s, 1300s, horrible theology books. But anyway, here's the point, that he lived all this time until after this abjuration came out in July 2013 and just died, of course, on September 24th, now, which was yesterday, on our Feast Day of Our Lady of Ransom. And that's another indication, too. That's not a total indication, but he died on the Feast Day of Our Lady of Ransom. Our Lady of Ransom ransoms people from evildoers on earth, from the Muslims, and also ransoms people from the devil. So the day he died on is also a good sign. It's not the only sign. Another thing is that he was so sick for about a year or more now, and Monk Lewis always loves walking around. He's a real worker. He gets out there and works. And he was too much, maybe, too proud. He was always proud, and I'm out there working and all that. So God sort of humbled him and laid him up. And by laying him up, I believe this is what his chance of salvation was. It got him to feel he's not Superman. You know, even as an old man, he was very out there working. And so God humbled him a little bit by laying him up for about a year, at least about a year. And He couldn't move around very well. His greatest suffering was more or less just that he couldn't move around. He was no longer active. And then, of course, he could not come over here for mass prayers because he couldn't even hardly move around at that point. So what we would do is we would be saying our mass prayers here, and we'd have on the telephone, we'd have him on the intercom for the property, and which he'd be able to hear the mass prayers. And that was going on for, I don't know, about a year or so. Now, just recently, we had an incident where our water pump went out. We had to get a new water pump. And in the meantime, to get a new water pump, we had to move them over to the Worth sisters, Mary Lou and Catherine, their place, which is about a quarter mile away. All right. And so we moved him over there because we couldn't keep him on the. He was living on the property here with us, with his son, Nicholas. So we had to move him too so we can have water and all that. And in the meantime, we couldn't say mass here on Sunday till we got the water pump. So what we did is we went over there to say mass prayers. And then Monk Luce was able to be with us because he was in the same place. So for the last 2 weeks, and it took us 2 weeks to finally get everything straightened out of the water pump, after about maybe more than a year, Monk Luce is actually with us, praying with us. He's watching the movies with us at night. He's spending the whole day with us. And we all said it. We said, this is great for Monk Luce. I'm really glad he could be with us, because we miss having him amongst us, and this must be really good for him too. And then we even said, maybe we'll do this once a month when we move him back to Brother Nicholas's place, and we'll somehow have him with us once a month. And I said to the sisters, can we at least get him over? She goes, he can't even hardly move from the bed to here to there. So, well, maybe we'll go over to Brother Nicholas's and say a mass once in a while so Monk Luce could be with us. Because the hardest thing is, too, when you're not moving around like that, it's hard. People aren't visiting you as much. We visited them, but you're not around people as much as you are. So these last 2 weeks before he died, and that was the last 2 weeks before, last two Sundays before he died, we had this wonderful, these good Sundays with Monk Luce. And that was a good thing that God had given him, a little bit of time like that to be with us. Then, let's see, what else do we have on here? Also, before he, the night he... which is September 23rd, before he went to bed, he was watching one of his favorite movies, St. Patrick, one of his favorite movies. And then he went to bed, of course, and then I think he woke up at 1 o'clock. He thought it was daytime, then it wasn't. He went back to bed, and then he died around 2:10 a.m. on September 24th. Now, that same night, September 23rd, which Ron and I, on Tuesdays or Mondays, a lot of times at nighttime we'll watch a movie, have a couple of drinks, some wine, maybe watch a movie. And we were watching a movie that night on September 23rd. And in the movie, there's a guy's son, his young son dies, and he's got him in a sackcloth, like a sackcloth, and he's dragging him along. And he's dragging him along in a sackcloth. And I said to Ron, I said, hey, Ron, that's how we're going to bury Monk Luce, in a sackcloth. And that was that night, you know, we're watching that movie. That's how we, by the way, one good thing about New Mexico, at least Sierra County where we are, you can bury people on your own property. You don't have to go to a funeral home. You don't got to buy a funeral box or a funeral, what do you call those things, coffins. We're going to bury them the way they always used to bury people, in a sackcloth, just sack, like a sack. And when you just drop them into the ground, and that's how we bury them. In other words, Monk Luce's burial is going to cost us zero. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to maybe I'll save this for another sermon. I think there's something thoroughly diabolical about people who make money off of dead people. I really do. I think it's evil. I was talking to Sister Mary Lou when her husband died, and it cost her $15,000 to bury him. I mean, in certain places, you have to go to a funeral home. You have to lay him out there and pay the guy. You got to put him in a box. They got all these rules. And so they're making. Now, sometimes if you can't help it, and it's the state code, you're not guilty. It's not like the guys, you're committing a sin, as long if you can't help it. You're following the evil code of the United States. But where we live, in this county, you do not have to go to a funeral home. You don't have to, you can bury him right away. Yes, I think you have to bury him within 24 hours or 48 hours or something. But you can bury him on your own property. You don't even got to go to a cemetery. And this is how we're going to be burying Monk Luce over here. And that's what we're talking about, a sack. Well, what is all this thing that you got to go and spend money when someone dies? Now, it's a joke they make. You got to pay to be born and to come into this world, and you got to pay to come out of this world. That's not true. I would estimate. I don't know all history, but even Attila the Hun and the barbarians would cut your head off for doing that. If you charged his own people, if his own people died, and you say, hey, give me $1,000 so we can bury one of my citizens over here. That is so evil. That's against natural law. It is. It's another Jewish, apostate Jewish, and not just them, and other greedy people, to make money off of people. It's a way to make money off of people. What is it? You're going to put them in a box? You're going to put them in wood? The worms are going to eat them anyway. What's the difference? I'm not against having a fancy funeral for a famous person where you can pass by him and all that kind of stuff. But even then, you got to be careful. What's really, even back then in the Old Testament, I don't know, until recently, they buried people in sackcloths. They didn't have this idea of coffins. And then to save money, they had wooden coffins. Then they got the real fancy ones, you know. Oh, what kind of coffin would you like to have? I like to have the one with the gold trim around it. It's a little bit polished and all that. You're going to throw it in the dirt. It's going to rot. So there's something very diabolical about that. But that's the sackcloth thing. So we're watching just the night on September 23rd, the night, you know, before he died, he just died a couple hours later. And I'm saying to Ron, that's the sackcloth we're going to bury Monk Lewis in. Then I think also Brother Bruce Gott was just telling me that, what was the story on that now? About the, you were watching, you said, about, yeah.
Yeah, I just...
Yeah, he was his leg was hurting him that night, and he was saying how we all get old, and people don't think about death very much. And I said, yeah, look at Burr Lewis, he could die any day, you know. And that was the night before he died.
That was the night before they were saying that. Exactly. That was, and they were talking like Brother Lewis, he can die any day. And they were saying that last night. And then also, Brother Ryan woke up this morning. He was reading 1 Corinthians.
The same morning he died, it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. On, was it the 24th he died? I read 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
And verse 20, yeah.
Verse 20, and it talks about the resurrection and the
death. And he was reading that. Now, that's happening with them. Also, about the shroud, we're talking about the shroud, we're burying them. And the sisters, and you may want to tell the story, you know it better than me. Sister Marie, you want to tell the story at the shroud?
We were supposed to be taking the shroud out of the closet because it was up on the top shelf. And I had been in that closet the night before, and there was nothing on the floor at all. I can verify that. And then I went in there because Mom said, go find it. It's on the top shelf. It should be in a bag. And she said, I think it says shroud on it. So I said, okay, I hope I can find it. Well, I went in there, and there was a white bag in the middle of the floor. Nobody had been in there at all. It was in the middle of the floor, and I said, what is this? So I picked it up, and it was the bag that says shroud on it. It came off, it was moved off the top shelf into the middle of the floor.
Right. And then you had one other thing happen just the other day when we were praying for the rosary from Uncle Lewis.
I had asked, I forgot my rosary, and then I said, does anybody have an extra rosary? So Sister Kathy gave me one, and I was using it, and then I happened to look down at it when we were in the middle of the prayers, and the interesting thing is I had just thought about Our Lady of Mount Carmel because she's in my prayer book at the picture of the Holy Souls, which I do every day. And so I looked at it, and then I was praying the rosary, and I was thinking about Our Lady Mount Carmel. Well, then I looked down at the rosary, and on the middle, on the connector piece, there was a picture of Our Lady of Mount Carmel with the holy souls around her. And then I had showed it to Mom during the prayer so she could see it. So she looked at it, and then as soon as we were finished prayers, Brother Richard got up, and he said, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, pray for us. It was like right away.
Right.
And then Mom walked into the other room and picked up a book, and there was a picture of Our Lady of Mount Carmel in the front of it.
And Our Lady of Mount Carmel is a special, we invoke the Blessed Mother under that title for the poor souls in purgatory. That's the special devotion of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. She delivers the poor souls under that title. So that's the significance of that. And then Brother Will had something happen too.
Yesterday I came home from work, and I shower every day when I come from work. And every time when I shower, I always take my scapular off. And for some reason, I was in there, and then I said, what's this doing on? And there it was. The scapular was still on me. I said, oh, okay. So then I didn't think anything of it because I hadn't remembered about Our Lady of Mount Carmel and purgatory. But then when I went to dinner, I had told the sisters, and they were telling me their stories. So I said, well, that's...
Yeah, Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Exactly.
Again, coming up. The other thing happened, too. I was praying to God. I said, Lord, if it's according to you, well, can you give us a sign if Monk Lewis is saved? If he doesn't, he doesn't. But, you know, it's nice to ask, you know. And I said, that would be nice to know. And for several reasons, just for his own benefit and to make us, to bring joy upon him. If he was in hell, we'd still accept God's will. I'm not saying that. But, yeah, I was asking for a sign from God to let us know, you know, to let me know, some, you know, if he's in purgatory. So when I was actually asking God that, I went in to pray this is Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? Yeah, because that's when it was Tuesday. I went to pray the Litany of St. Anne, which I always pray on Tuesdays. And I was just saying that, Lord, can you please let us know, as I'm opening a book, if Monk Lewis had saved his soul. And I opened the book, just opened the prayer book, and I say like this, oh, okay, Lord. Okay, I'm saying, okay, Lord, okay, Lord. And I look right down, and it was right in the beginning for the poor souls in purgatory with Our Lady of Carmel. Mount Carmel with a picture of her right there. I just opened the book and went there. And said, I usually know generally where I'm going with the litanies and stuff, but I just opened the, and it's a lot of pages. And it was right there. I opened right up to the purgatory with Our Lady of Carmel looking at me on our prayer book, which you'd be able to see. That's another thing that happened here. Now, all these together make some type of a testimony. You know, one person could be deceived, or but if it's several times, you know. But this is just, I'm just giving you as a testimony, some good examples of why we have some good hope to believe that Monk Lewis had saved his soul and he is in purgatory.
Yeah. The example of Nick.
Oh, yeah, I know there's another one.
Yeah.
Nick, what happened with your example?
I was really tired that night, so I went to bed early at 9:30, and Mary Lou called at 10 o'clock, and I thought I'd been sleeping for a long time, you know, and I always, because I call and get a call late at night, I always think of what it is. I jumped up and answered the phone, and she asked, and she was telling me something that was supposed to happen. I said, oh, I went to bed early. I said, I thought I'd been sleeping. I thought it was 2 or 2:30, you know. And then she called at 2:15. And
yeah, and that's when Monk Lewis was
dying. And then I said, I thought something happened to Dad.
You thought something happened to Dad.
Yeah, I thought something happened to Dad.
Yeah, so he got on the phone. He said, oh, I thought
it
was 2 o'clock, he said, and I thought something happened to Dad. And then 2 o'clock, something did happen to Dad. He died. All these things that God was giving us, these signs, which gives us some reason to believe that there is good hope that he saved his soul. But if he didn't, he didn't. If it's God's will and he's in hell, he's not. But these signs are there for a reason. I do believe that. And this is there's just the circumstances leading up to his death, all the events happening after it, and what God is telling us. What a wonderful thing this is. And, you know, knowing that for the last 1,000 years or so, there's been so few people going to heaven, it's a scary thing, and saving their souls. This is a very big event. It proves also how important it is to be inside the Catholic Church. Because when you're inside the Catholic Church, God gives you an extra special benefit. If there's something that you're lacking, maybe to save you before you die. You know how many people have been out of church for 1,000 years now? They think they're Catholic. This is going on for a long time, this great apostasy. Now, what we're talking about, now I'm not saying nobody saved their soul in 1,000 years. I'm sure there probably were some very good people, but they were struggling a lot against the wicked apostate anti-popes, the apostate cardinals, and all these so-called saints that aren't saints, fighting against them even. And trying to reconcile, how could this guy be a saint when he committed and taught such and such and such a thing? Anyway, so it would be. So that's our hope. We have a good hope that Monk Lewis is in purgatory, but we accept that if he's in the hell of the damned, then so be it. Now, here's what we're going to be doing. Here's the special prayers, and I think we're going to, because he's the first brother that died amongst us, and how we're going to handle this when brothers amongst us die. Well, first of all, for one week. From the day he died, which was on Tuesday, September 24th, to the following Tuesday included, we're going to pray the office of the dead. That's instead of the other office, just the office of the dead every day for him for 1 week. Now, the other practice, this comes from the church itself. After the funeral mass, the day when he's buried, you then say another funeral. It's the same as the funeral mass with minor additions of collects and stuff. You say another funeral mass on the third day after his burial, the seventh day after his burial, and the 30th day after his burial, counting the day after his burial as the first day. That means this Saturday, September 28th, would be a mass prayers. October 2nd on Wednesday, and 30 days later on October 25th on Friday. And all you got to do, you don't have to do all the mass prayers like we did here today. Just read the mass prayers out of the missal, wherever you are for his soul on those days. Then on the anniversary of his death, They have a special mass for the anniversary of when people die. We'll do that for all the brothers that die. This is sort of practice we're going to do from now on. If several people die within the same month, you just add their names to whatever you pray. Now, we're going to mention him every time we pray the mass prayers, the full mass prayers, and we get to the prayers for the dead, we're going to mention his name. Just that's always. Until it gets to the point where if we have like a lot of people dying, then we'll just sort of have like the diptychs. We'll have them, put them under the altar. So every time we say a mass and we get to the part for the prayers for the poor souls, we're going to mention Monk Lewis. Then for 1 month, we're going to do this for 1 month. At the end of the divine office, when we're done with the whole divine office for 1 month, Genesis 3:15, just say eternal rest grant unto Monk Lewis, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him for every office. So every time you say the Genesis 3:15, eternal rest grant unto Brother Lewis Worth, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. That's for 1 month. 1 month at the rosary when you're done with every when you're done with every decade on the rosary, eternal rest grant unto Brother Louis Worth, O Lord, and let perpetual lightning upon it. That'll be five times. And at the end of each decade, you say that for 1 month. That'll be for 1 month. And then that's that. We can also have a sheet of paper in which we're going to put his name on, like they do with the like diptychs, in a sense. So that's for the living and the dead, those who died and we presume are faithfully departed. We put them on a sheet of paper and put them under the altar. So Monk Louis will be the first name that's going to be on there. Now, that's it for the special prayers on how we're going to handle that. I'll print all that out for the brothers so they can know that. Is there any questions then about that, anything? That's about it.
No, Marilyn was just mentioning, I forgot about that one other thing you could add to that list.
Oh, I want to speak. Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
When he was going to bed, and we always say his prayers with him and stuff, and we do the Angel of God and the St. Michael prayer and everything, and we got all done, and I'm walking out of the room, he started praying a prayer he hasn't prayed for a long time, and it says, Guardian Angel, guard my slumbers through the horrors of the night, wrap thy lovely wings around me, Angel beautiful and bright. He hasn't prayed that.
That's amazing. This guy's inspiring.
But that was his guardian angel that he was praying for.
Yeah, inspiring him, yeah.
But he's never, because we always do the angel of God prayer.
And he never prayed that one.
No.
So there's some signs that we have good hope that that Monk Louis is in purgatory and saved us. So there's some good hope. But we have also, Brother Nicholas Wirth had a good chance to witness to the sheriff when he came out. Which is good. He did. Because he had to wait for the medical examiner to come out. And there's the medical examiner, of course, it's a good law. They got to come out and check, did you kill the guy? Did you poison him? Cat file work.
Yeah.
That even pagans do that kind of work. But they have to come out and check, It's. And so we had, and while they were waiting, Brother Nicholas had a good conversation with the sheriff, the county sheriff. And he understood, too, that a lot of things really are bad in the world, and final days and everything's very evil. So we've been planting a lot of seeds around New Mexico anyway for a long time here. And I firmly know for sure if we stay faithful, even one miracle, major public miracle from God, and you're going to have Pentecost Sunday happening times, you're going to get quite a few conversions. But it's not time for that yet right now. But individual conversions, it's always time for that. Anyway, let this be a warning for us brothers here and everything, too, to give us confidence how important it is to be in the Catholic Church. That's for number one. And how important it is for us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling and do our best to love God with our whole heart, our whole soul, and all our strength and all our mind, and to obey all of His commandments. And when we don't, confess your sins. Tell God you're sorry. Tell Him how weak you are. Tell Him you want to get better. And He'll listen to you if you're sincere, and you'll get better. They'll start getting better as you go along. Okay, from the burial mass, I'm going to recite the Dies Irae hymn, which is the sequence. And then I'm going to follow that up by the offertory prayer. Day of wrath, O day of mourning, see fulfilled the prophet's warning, heaven and earth in ashes burning. Oh, what fear man's bosom rendeth when from heaven the judge descendeth, on whose sentence all dependeth. Wondrous sound the trumpet flingeth, through earth's sepulchres it ringeth, all before the throne it bringeth. Death is struck and nature quaking, all creation is awaking, to its judge an answer making. Lo, the book exactly worded, wherein all hath been recorded. Then shall judgment be awarded, when the judge his seat attaineth, and each hidden deed arraigneth, nothing unavenged remaineth. What shall I, frail man, be pleading, who for me be interceding? When the just are mercy needing, King of majesty tremendous, who dost free salvation send us, font of pity, then befriend us. Think, good Jesu, my salvation caused, the wondrous incarnation, leave me not to reprobation. Faint and weary thou hast sought me, on the cross of suffering bought me. Shall such grace be vainly brought me? Righteous judge, for sin's pollution, grant thy gift of absolution, ere the day of retribution. Guilty now I pour my moaning, all my shame with anguish owning. Spare, O God, thy suppliant groaning. Thou the sinful woman savest, thou the dying thief forgavest, and to me a hope thou safest. Worthless are my prayers and sighing, yet, good Lord, in grace complying, rescue me from fires undying. With thy favored sheep, O place me, nor among the goats abase me, but to thy right hand upraise me. while the wicked are confounded, doomed to flames of woe unbounded. Call me with thy saints surrounded. Lo, I kneel with heart submission. See, like ashes, my contrition. Help me in my last condition. Ah, that day of tears and mourning, from the dust of earth returning. Man for judgment must prepare him. Spare, O God, in mercy spare him. Lord, all pity in Jesu blessed, grant them thine eternal rest. Amen. And the offertory prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, King of glory, deliver the souls of all thy faithful departed from the pains of hell and from the deep pit. Deliver them from the lion's mouth, that hell may not swallow them up, and may they not fall into darkness. May thy holy standard bearer, Michael, lead them into the holy light, which thou dost promise to Abraham and to his seed. We offer to thee, O Lord, sacrifices and prayers. Do thou receive them in behalf of those souls whom we commemorate this day. Grant them, O Lord, to pass from death unto life, which thou dost promise to Abraham and to his seed. All right, so eternal rest grant unto Brother Lewis Worth, O Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. For excerpts from the funeral and burial of our Brother Lewis Worth, see the video, which can be accessed on the Religious Ceremonies menu. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.